Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's June 28th. We are on page 504 in Parshas Ki Sisa. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Page 504?
Yeah.
Verse 12. Yud Beis. Here the Torah is going to go backwards chronologically, where the last thing we had was that Hashem told the people and Moshe Rabbeinu that he was not going to go with them, and instead an angel, a malach, would go before them. They had to take their crowns off from Har Sinai, and then Moshe took his tent and pitched it outside the camp. And we explained that this took place after Yom Kippur, when Moshe came down from the mountain, and it was like that until the Mishkan was built, until the tabernacle was built. But here we're going to go backwards, because this next exchange that we're going to have between Moshe and Hashem takes place sometime while he's still on the mountain. Now, it's not clear exactly whether this happened during the second 40 days he was up on the mountain or the last 40 days he was up on the mountain. From the exchange between Moshe and Hashem, it sounds like this is happening during the last 40 days. That's what it sounds like. The only thing is that on the next page, which we're not going to get to tonight, we're going to have Hashem telling Moshe to go down and to hew new stones for the tablets. Now that takes place between the second and third set of 40 days. So if from here and on is meant to be chronological, then this must have taken place during the second 40 days. However, the second 40 days was a time when Moshe was begging for forgiveness for the Jewish people, and it seems that the closeness with which we're going to see the next exchange between Moshe and Hashem would have been more likely in the last 40 days. So I don't know exactly when this takes place, but it's when they're up on the mountain, when Moshe's up on the mountain. Now, when I say it's not going to work chronologically, Hashem told Moshe back on page 500, in Perek Lamed Gimel, chapter 33, Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, it says, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe." Hashem said to Moshe, "Lech alei mizeh, go and go up from here, from this. Atave ha'am asher alisa meretz Mitzrayim, you and the nation that you brought up from the land of Mitzrayim." Now Moshe is going to respond to that statement. So again, on page 504, Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayomer Moshe el Hashem, Moshe said to Hashem, "Re'e ata omer elai, see, you are saying to me, Ha'al es ha'am hazeh, take up this nation. Ve'ata lo hodatani, you have not told me, you have not let me know, Es asher tishlachi mi, who will go with me? You haven't let me know who's going to go with me." Now, that statement is puzzling, because Hashem did let Moshe know who was going to go with him. What did Hashem tell Moshe?
An angel
was going to go with him. And yet Moshe is saying, "You have not told me who is going to go with me." Ve'ata amarta, and you have said, "Yedaticha v'shem, I have known, I have made you known by name. I shall know you by name." And you have found favor in my eyes. Now it's, you Hashem have said about me that I know you by name, and you Moshe have found favor in my Hashem's eyes. So you've said that about me. And now, if now I have found favor in your eyes, let me know your ways. And I will know you. Leman emtzachin beinecha, so that I find favor in your eyes. That's a very difficult phrase there. Very redundant. Ure'ei ki amcha hagoy hazeh, and see that your nation is this people. What one thing has to do with the other is very difficult. Vayomar, and he said, Hashem said, Panay elechu v'anichosi lach, my face will go and I will lead you. I will go. I'll lead you. Vayomar elav, so Hashem says, I'll lead you, not an angel. Vayomar elav, Moshe said to him, Im ein panecha holchim, if your face does not go, al ta'aleinu mizeh, don't bring us up from this.
Who's saying
Moshe. Uvamei vadai fo, and how will it be known? Ki matzasi chen beinecha ani ve'amecha, that I have found favor in your eyes, I and your nation. Halo belech decha imanu, only if you will go with us. V'niflinu ani ve'amcha, and I and your nation will be distinct mikol ha'am asha pneu adama, from all the nation that is on the face of the earth. Now, if you had trouble following those, how many do we have here? Five. Psukim, five verses, you're not alone. This is a very difficult set of psukim to translate. You can translate them, but they don't seem, it seems extremely disjointed, and it's not clear what exactly Moshe is saying. He's presenting, apparently, a cogent argument, but it's unclear what that argument is. It seems extremely convoluted and complicated. The goal of Moshe Rabbeinu is that Hashem should lead the Jewish people and not an angel. That's his goal, and he is successful. Hashem agrees. But how we get from point A to point B and what happens in the middle is very confusing. Now I'm going to read it again, and this time I'll read it more slowly and we'll point out each of the problems as we go. Then I'm going to read it a third time with the way Rashi understands the psukim. So we're going to go one more time now and ask more specific questions. We just read a general overview. Now we're going to read it again with more specific questions, then use Rashi at least to give us some direction here. So again, from Yud Beis, from 12. V'omer Moshe l'Hashem, Moshe said to Hashem, Re'ei ata omer elai, see, you are saying to me, Ha'al es ha'amazeh, bring up this nation, which is an exact response to what we read back on page 500, where Hashem said to Moshe, you go and go up from here. V'ata lo hodatani, you did not let me know, Es asher tishlach imi, who you will send with me. Now, again, that's puzzling, because Hashem did tell him he's going to send the angel. V'ata amarta, and you said, you had said, Yedaticha v'shem, I know you by name. I know you, Moshe, by name. I, Hashem, know you, Moshe, by name. V'gam matzas achein beinai, and you, and also you, Moshe, have found favor in my, Hashem's, eyes. So, a general question is, what this has to do with anything? But let's just take it at face value. When did Hashem say, I will know you by name, and you have found favor in my eyes? Okay. So, sometime earlier, Hashem evidently said to Moshe, I know you by name, and you have found favor in my eyes. Now, what does it mean, I know you by name? Hashem knows everybody's names.
His essence.
Okay, his essence. Hashem knows everybody's essence.
You're precious to me.
So it can't mean that Hashem knows Moshe better than he knows anybody else, because Hashem knows everything. There's nothing Hashem doesn't know. So it's got to connote something other than simply knowing Moshe.
He's emphasizing.
He is definitely emphasizing. That's true.
He's called him by name. He doesn't call everybody by name. Hashem has called Moshe by his name.
Okay.
Moshe.
That's what Mr. Stockman said as well, that at the burning bush he said Moshe, Moshe. So he called his name. Okay.
It could also be, if I know you by name, then you know me by name. So maybe he's implying that Moshe knows Hashem.
Okay. Okay. So you're saying that this is some sort of a relationship that's being emphasized. Okay.
I think it's a way of emphasizing to Moshe that I will be there with you.
Okay. Fair. That's fair. Let's keep going.
Can I ask a question? Is Moshe correctly quoting Hashem here? I mean, is this quote taken from a pasuk?
So we're going to go to where Rashi believes this is being taken from. It is not a direct quote. Yeah.
Could this be an invitation by God to Moshe to present an argument to him?
It could be, but Moshe is the one quoting Hashem over here. You're referring to like when Hashem said he was going to destroy the Jewish people and he said, leave me alone. So that was an invitation to Moshe. If you don't leave me alone, I won't destroy them. But here it's Moshe doing the talking. So Moshe is quoting Hashem from someplace.
Moshe then is saying to God, you know me, so you know I'm going to argue with you and I want you to come with us.
Okay. Okay, so he's saying, Moshe is saying to Hashem, this is not going to come as a shock to you that I'm going to argue. Okay? Okay.
But isn't it chutzpah of Moshe to say, this is what I want?
Yes. Yeah, that would be chutzpah. Right, so we have...
You know, he's saying, I'm sending an angel with you. I'm not leaving you alone. Okay.
Okay. Good.
He wanted God, though, not the angel.
Okay, so we have to talk about that. That's true. He can't be chutzpah. Okay, so we'll have to talk about that. Good. Let's keep going. V'ata, and now Moshe keeps talking here. Again, it's difficult. Where is his argument? What is he trying to say? V'ata, and now, im na matzasi chen be'enecha, if I have in fact found favor in your eyes, hodieni na es derachecha, let me know your ways. Let me know your ways. Okay, what exactly is he asking for? Ve'edo'acha, and I will know you. L'man emtzachein be'enecha, so that I find favor in your eyes. Now that whole phrase there is very difficult. If in fact I found favor in your eyes, let me know your ways, and I will know you, so that I'll find favor in your eyes. You just said, if I found favor in your eyes. Mm-hmm. That means apparently you did find favor in his eyes. That's repeated. It's the third time that's repeated. Mm-hmm. It's the third time it's said. He said already that Hashem, you said I found favor in your eyes. If in fact I have found favor in your eyes, let me know your ways, and I will know you, so that I'll find favor in your eyes. I already found favor in your eyes. And what does it mean, let me know your ways, so that I'll know you? What ways are we talking about? Urei and see, ki amcha hagoy hazeh, that it is your nation, This people is your nation. What does that have to do with anything? He's saying, let me know your ways, I'll know you, I'll find favor in your eyes, and then he throws in the Jewish people and see that your nation is this people. Vayomar, and Hashem responds, Panay elechu v'anichos ilach, my face will go and I will lead you. My presence will go and I will lead you. Okay, so Hashem agreed. So that should end the discussion. Moshe goes on. Vayomer Elav, he said to him, if your face, your presence doesn't go, al ta'aleinu mizeh, don't bring us up from this.
That's what do you mean?
Hashem just, but more than that, Hashem just said, my presence will go. So what do you mean if your presence doesn't go? He already said he's going to go. So what are you pushing it for?
Don't change your mind again.
Okay. Okay.
Well, he may be afraid the people are going to mess up.
Okay.
Again.
And how will it be known that I have found favor in your eyes? I am your nation. So is it me or is it your nation? Hello, Balechtecha Imanu. Isn't it when you go with us? And I and your nation will be distinct from all the nation that's on the face of the earth. So, a very difficult exchange here. Exactly what is the conversation? What is Moshe? This conversation is being driven by Moshe Rabbeinu. Everything here is being said by Moshe except for one small pasuk that's said by Hashem. Everything else is being said by Moshe. And what exactly is this plea that he's making? So we have to go through this again carefully to discuss what exactly Moshe's plea is. I'm willing to take a few points, but I don't want to get stuck over here because we really have to go through it.
Just yeah. Very quickly, repeating of the, I found faith in your eyes. He repeats it three times. Could that
It's four in the end.
Four times at the end. Could be any zechmera the avos.
Could be.
And the people, because the promise Hashem made to the others for the Klal Yisrael, it's his people.
It's possible. It's possible.
It may be that there were other people talking to God too.
Okay.
And he's trying to emphasize of who he's talking to, not someone else.
Okay. Only you, not anybody else.
Right.
Okay. Good. Good. Rashi's gonna deal with that a little bit.
To go back to the word v'hani hosi, is this an ambiguous word? Because it's translated differently.
How do they translate?
Provide you rest. Is there ambiguity here in whether he's going to lead the people or is he saying he's going to provide Moshe rest from his anxiety?
I thought that Rashi translates it as "I will lead you." Hold on.
Well, it may be, ambiguous.
Let me check that 1 second. Okay, maybe it does mean "I'll provide you rest." See, the word "neche" means to lead. It could also mean from the word "nach" to rest. That's interesting. Okay.
Maybe it's deliberately ambiguous.
Okay.
It's interesting that the two meanings are not really congruent.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good point. I did not notice that in the English translation. Rashi does not translate it over here. Okay. Let's hold on to that. Let's see if anything comes up that it will shed light on that. Okay. So now let's notice that in addition to the fact that the phrase Matsasi Chein Be'einecha, I have found favor in your eyes, appears four times in this short paragraph, there's another word or form of a word that shows up, I think it was five times. 1, 2, 3, 4. Five. What's that?
Yada,
to know. Moshe says in Pasuk Yud-Beis in 12, he says, "You have not let me know who you're sending with me. And you said, I have known you by name." So twice in that Pasuk. And then the next Pasuk, "Let me know your ways, and I will know you." And then finally, in Pasuk Tezayin in 16, "And how will it be known that I have found favor in your eyes?" So we're talking about knowledge and we're talking about finding favor. Now Rashi tells us that what is Moshe referring to when he says you have known me by name? You have said that you know me by name, and I have found favor in your eyes. So Rashi says referring here to the days leading up to Matan Torah, to the giving of the Torah. Now hold the place over here. We'll go back a little bit to Parshas Yisro, and in Parshas Yisro, page 402, pasuk Tes, verse 9. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Hinei onochi bo elecha be'av he'anan. Behold, I am coming to you in the thickness of the cloud. Ba'avur yishma ha'am bedabri imach, so that the nation hears when I speak to you. Ve'gam b'cha ya'aminu le'olam, and also in you they will trust forever. So Rashi says here in Parshas Kisisa that Hashem was saying over there in Parshas Yisro that I am singling you, Moshe, out. I'm singling you out to be chashuv, to be important, to be distinct, to be distinguished more than anybody else on the face of the earth. I'm going to come to you in the thickness of the cloud. So the people will hear when I speak to you, and they will trust in you forever. Now, why will they trust in you forever? Because I'm going to come to you in the thickness of the cloud. So I am going to publicly show that you are my prophet, that you're my main prophet. And that is what Rashi understands is being referenced over here when Moshe says, and you said that I know you by name. I know you by name doesn't mean that I know your name. It means I give you a name of distinction. A name can be like fame. I know you as having a good name. Not that I know that you have one, but my knowing you has given you special status. So you, Hashem, have said that you are going to know me in a way that's going to give me special status, to give me a name. Everybody knows Moshe. Everybody knows about Moshe because of Hashem's treatment of Moshe. And that's what's being referenced over here. Now, it's important for us to realize that this, we talked about it back when we did Parashas Yisro, but it's important for us to emphasize now that this recognition of Moshe is not simply a nice gesture that Hashem is doing because Moshe is such a big tzaddik, so he deserves this special treatment. That may be true, but it's more than that. And that is that it is impossible for Hashem to give a Torah to anybody unless he makes it clear to everybody who the transmitter of the Torah is. And at the end of the day, this is really what distinguishes our belief from all the lies of all the other religions. Because no other religion is able to claim that Hashem, that God, spoke to 2 or 3 million people and said, this person is my prophet. This person is my Navi. But with us, that is what happened. That is what we claim because that's what happened. That Hashem said to the Jewish people, that everybody at Har Sinai, everybody at Mount Sinai, received prophecy from Hashem. And the prophecy was, Moshe is my prophet. So after the first two of the Ten Commandments that we all heard from Hashem, the reason why we were all able to hear everything else from Moshe is because Hashem told each and every one of us, Moshe is my prophet. That means that I didn't have to hear it from someone else that Moshe is my prophet. I heard from Hashem that Moshe is my prophet. None of us had to hear from anybody else. So this recognition of Moshe wasn't simply a reward to Moshe. It was a critical piece in how to give the Torah in a way that it would have the belief of everybody. It would have the acceptance of everybody. And
is that because of the Anan or because of the way Hashem spoke to us at Har Sinai?
Well, the Anan is part of it. Hashem came to him in the cloud and showed everybody, spoke to everybody, and said, this is my Navi. So Moshe here is invoking that point. That's the way Rashi understands it. Moshe is saying to Hashem, you made me known. You knew me, and in so doing, gave me great distinction. You gave me a great name. That's what you did. And I have found favor in your eyes. So you have elevated my status over everybody else. I'm not the one, it wasn't me who did that, you did that, and you told me you were going to do that. So Moshe is invoking that. So Moshe is saying over here, You gave me this status. If you've given me this status, then this is what I'm asking for. Now, let's take a step back. In Pasuk Yud Beis, back on page 504, Moshe says, you have not let me know who you are sending with me. Rashi says that the angel that you want to send with us, I don't consider that to be letting me know. That's not called letting me know. Now, why not? Hashem said, I'm going to send an angel.
He didn't say what angel.
They represent
That's true.
Different things.
Huh?
Angels represent different
That's
things.
That's true. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, that's not considered letting me know because I don't want an angel. I want you.
Right.
Also, simply saying that he's going to send an angel. I don't think he said when he said he was going to send an angel that at the same time he himself was not going to go.
Well, that's the implication. The implication is...
The implication, but yeah. He didn't come out and say that.
Yeah, the implication
Why
is...
Why would they vote? If God's going to be doing it, what do you need the angel for?
Okay, that we discussed last... Yeah. The past couple of times. I don't want to go back to that. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. But that's... it means that... I know. It implies a distance from Hashem.
Okay.
That's what it implies. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam
she'akom
ra'o. Amen. It says that he did not want the inferior form of spiritual accompaniment.
Right, which would be the angel.
Right.
That's right.
Kind of an insult to angels also. It's an, you know, like an inferior...
They are inferior. Yeah. Compared to Hashem, they're inferior.
Right, but if Hashem is sending them, obviously he's going to give them the power to...
Well, but it's not the same thing as Hashem. That's what we talked about last week and the week before. That it's you can't compare the angel to... It's much better to be sent to have Hashem lead you.
Of course.
Yeah.
Maybe Moshe was afraid since they sinned with the Egel HaZahav that the people again might fall, might sin again.
Okay.
And he wanted a more close relationship that Baruch Hu should have with the nation. Because maybe he knew that he may not go into the land of the people. And he wanted to have reassurance.
That may be true. That may be why. But that doesn't explain what his argument is over here. What exactly is he saying?
You know, it might rest on the verb here. You did not inform me. You know, you may have made this statement that you're going to send an angel, but I don't call that informing.
Okay.
I don't call that
now,
really.
the word for informing over here is you didn't let me know. The same
right.
word, das,
know.
Knowledge. Okay, so we have to here invoke something which you're all familiar with, but we haven't applied it over here. And that is what the term knowledge means in the Torah. Now, the term knowledge... It means knowledge. That's what it means. But the term is used to mean intimacy. That's the term that is used by the Torah for intimacy between a man and a woman. Now, that's not to say that knowledge is intimacy. What that means is that intimacy is one form of knowledge. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that every time the word das is used, it means intimacy. But intimacy is a form of knowledge. When the Torah is trying to convey a close relationship, the term that is used is knowledge. When we want to convey a very close relationship, we say, I love you. That's the term we use. We use love as a way of conveying a very close relationship. They love each other. That shows a great close relationship. The Torah does not use that terminology when it wants to convey a very close relationship. There is ahava. The Torah does speak about ahava, of love. But when the Torah wants to convey a close relationship, the Torah uses das, knowledge. They know each other connotes a very close relationship. Again, it doesn't have to be intimate. I'm not trying to use that I'm just showing you from that example that das is always means a close relationship. Moshe is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, you said that you know me by name, which means that you gave me great fame. You elevated my status, my name, through what? Through the fact that you know me, meaning by showing everybody the relationship that you and I have, that you have with me. You gave me this great status. You came to me in the cloud. Since when does Hashem go to talk to somebody? You never see that. That doesn't happen. That's unheard of. Here, you came to me, and in fact, we know that in the last thing we learned last week, which is already after all of this, after he comes down from the mountain for the last time, and they're waiting to build the Mishkan, so Moshe would go to his tent, and the cloud would come down and meet him at the tent. Hashem is having a little powwow with Moshe Rabbeinu. He sends the cloud as his representative. So, and we know that the Torah says that Hashem speaks to Moshe panim el panim, face to face, peh el peh, mouth to mouth. Hashem says to Miriam and to Aaron when they speak Lashon Hara, how could you speak about Moshe Rabbeinu? You don't have any kind of, your relationship with me is completely different. With Moshe, kasha yedaber ish el reyehu, like a man will speak to his friend, almost buddy-buddy. But there's no such, we don't have any other example like that. There, no one has that kind of relationship with Hashem. So Moshe is invoking the relationship. That's what he's doing over here. He's saying, Hashem, you said to me that you're going to elevate my name by showing everyone the special relationship that you have with me. That's what you said. I didn't ask for that. You said you're going to do that. And I have found favor in your eyes. You made that clear. So, as far as I'm concerned, you have not let me know who's going with me, who you're sending with me. What do you mean you haven't let me know? You told me it's going to be an angel. You told me, but you didn't let me know. You told me like you tell anybody anything. You didn't tell me that in our close relationship way. You never said to me in a close, we'll call it intimate
encounter,
way,
encounter.
Right, that I'm sending an angel. That wasn't said that way. That was said as the Jewish people, they're going to rebel, they're stiff-necked, I'm sending an angel, tell them I'm sending an angel. Says Moshe, that's not, in a way, that's not the way that you talk to me. That's not a close, intimate relationship. And therefore, that is not, You haven't let me know who you're sending with me. You've told me who you're sending with me, but you didn't let me know who you're sending with me. It's a different level. Yeah.
So does Moshe think perhaps maybe that Hashem was sending some minor underling to help Moshe?
Well, it is true. It is true. Hashem is sending a minor underling.
Yeah,
any angel is minor.
Moshe's.
Yes.
About.
Yeah. 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 So are the people. Yes. But now we have to see how is Moshe trying to argue against that. That's the main thing over here. So he says to Hashem, "You told me, but you didn't let me know, and you have already said to me that I know you, and that has made you a great name, and I found favor in your and you found favor in my eyes." So Moshe says like this. So I want that close relationship. You've said that I have a close relationship with you. You made it a public statement that I have a close relationship with you. Well, now I'm going to invoke that close relationship. And he says, and now, if in fact I have found favor in your eyes, let me know your ways. So what does that have to do with sending an angel? What does that have to do with the people? Let me know your ways, and I will know you. So now Moshe is saying, you know me, but I want to know you. I want to have greater knowledge of you. So I want to increase the intimacy that we share. You have stated publicly that you are intimate with me. Well, I want to now increase that knowledge, because knowledge is intimacy. Knowledge is closeness. The more you know about somebody, the closer you are. I want to know more about you, Hashem. There's something I don't understand, and I want to know more about that. And I will know you. Why do I want that closeness with you? In order that I should find favor in your eyes. It's true, I already find favor in your eyes, but I want that favor to increase. And the way it increases is to increase the intimacy, to increase the knowledge. I want to make it greater. Why do I want to make it greater? Do I want to make it greater because I want to be close to you? Of course I want to be close to you. But is that why I'm asking? No. and see that this people is your nation. I'm leading this people. And the closer that I am with you, then you are necessarily closer to the people. And I'm asking now for increasing our relationship personally, you and me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in so doing, you will therefore be closer to the people. And that's the theme in the next pasuk too. Not this one, but the one after that. Hashem says, my presence will go, and either I will provide you rest or I will lead you. And then Moshe says, if your presence doesn't go, don't bring us up from here. So we asked, what do you mean? He said my presence is going. What if your presence doesn't go? He said he's going. But Moshe, he wants more than that. Moshe here is turning the whole thing around. You said you're sending an angel. Not only do I want you to go and not the angel, I want more than that. What do I want more? How will it be known that I have found favor in your eyes? Not just me, but me and your nation. I want, you already made me. You showed that I have found favor in your eyes. I want you to show that the whole nation has found favor in your eyes. I want you to make a public display of the fact that the Jews are your people. You already made a public display of the fact that I am your prophet. Well, now I'm asking that you make a public display of the fact that the Jews are your people. And how will that be known? That will be known by you going with us, but more than that, not just you going with us, and making us distinct from all other nations that are on the face of the earth. What does that mean? Making us distinct from all other nations? So Rashi says, what that means is Moshe is saying, not only do I want you not to send the angel, but instead you go with us, but I want you to make a guarantee that you will no longer rest your divine presence on any other nation. That the Jews are not just going to be singled out by Hashem, that He will always rest with us, but it will be exclusive. He will rest with us and with nobody else. And that's what Moshe is asking for over here. And that's why he says that I'm not just saying I want you to go with us. I want more than that. I want you to go with us, and I want you to make us exclusive. I want exclusivity for the nation with you, Hashem. So Moshe, in his asking forgiveness for the Egel Hazar, for the golden calf, is not just asking that we go back to the way it was. He's saying, I want to go back to the way it was, and then some. I want to go beyond. And he's asking this through his own relationship. He's leveraging his own relationship. This is Moshe Rabbeinu at his best. This is Moshe Rabbeinu that we've seen him do time and time again. This is what really sets Moshe Rabbeinu apart from everybody else, is that Moshe Rabbeinu never uses his own leverage for himself, and he always leverages his own connection with Hashem for the Jewish people. We've seen it with the Egel Hazav, with the golden calf. We're seeing it now. We'll see it again with the spies. Moshe always leverages that relationship. Hashem has tied himself to Moshe because Hashem made a public display of Moshe being my prophet. And he said, they'll believe in you forever. Well, you can't really get rid of Moshe. Once you've created that relationship, then you're kind of stuck with me.
Yeah.
Right? So Moshe says, then I want to leverage this. And I want to actually increase it. And I want to know something that I don't know yet. And through that knowledge, there's going to be a greater relationship. And with that greater relationship, I want exclusivity for the Jewish people and you. Now, I left out one very critical part of this entire point, which is, what is the knowledge that Moshe is asking for? What is he asking for? He says, there's something I don't know. I want to know you in order that I find favor in your eyes. What is it that he wants to know? The Gemara tells us that Moshe was asking Hashem, why is it that you have tzadik v'tovlo, tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo, rasha v'ralo? Why is it that there are righteous people who have it good and there are righteous people who have it bad? And why is it that there are evil people who have it good and there are evil people who have it bad? why do good things happen to bad people and why do bad things happen to good people? I don't understand your ways. I want to know better. I want to understand, Hashem. Why is it that sometimes a righteous person has a good life and other times a righteous person has a terrible life? And why is it that an evil person sometimes has a good life and sometimes has a lousy life, a terrible life? Why is that? It doesn't seem to make sense. Shouldn't it be that the righteous always have a good life and the evil always have a bad life? Or if you'll tell me that the righteous have to pay off their sins in this world so that the next world is pure bliss, and the evil people have to get rewarded in this world so the next world is pure pain, so it should be the other way around. The righteous should always suffer, and the evil people should always prosper. That wouldn't be a problem. Meaning, of course it would be a problem, but that wouldn't be a question. If it was consistent, then we can answer the question. Moshe is saying, it's inconsistent, I don't understand. Why is it that the righteous, sometimes they have a good life, sometimes they suffer. The evil, sometimes they suffer, sometimes they have a good life. I don't understand. One or the other. But why the inconsistency? I want to understand better. That's what Moshe was asking for. Now Hashem answered him, which of course is going to be very interesting to us. What was Hashem's answer? But before we get to that, we have to understand this in the context of this plea that Moshe is making. What is he saying? Moshe is saying, I want to know you better. You said that I have a special relationship with you. Well, if that's true, I want to know you better. I want to know your ways. I want to know why is it that there's suffering and there's serenity, and it doesn't seem to make a difference whether the person is righteous or evil. It seems to be haphazard. Why is it? Can't be haphazard. So why is it? What are your ways? And by letting me know this, this way I will find favor in your eyes, meaning greater favor. And you will see that this is your nation. What do you mean? How will he see that he's your nation? And Hashem says, I'll go with you. And Moshe says, I'm asking for more than that. I want distinction. I want that exclusivity, that you go with us and not with anybody else. How does Moshe's asking for Hashem's ways, to understand Hashem's ways, how does that make it that now Hashem will embrace the people more than before?
Rabbi, in my opinion, that the human being only has limited access to Gadana.
Correct.
And I think that he's stating that you know only a part of me, and there's something way beyond that which a human being will have difficulty with.
Correct. That is going to be part of Hashem's answer.
Yes.
Yes, and we're going to see that in the next paragraph, right? But now we have to understand that what Moshe is asking for, he sees as a stepping stone to bring Hashem closer to the people. And how is this a stepping stone? Yeah.
Isn't this kind of like a reminder to Hashem that some of the people are going to do bad, but they're really good? I mean, with the whole good and bad thing, that yes, the people do bad things, but they are good. So the good things should happen to them.
Okay. I wouldn't say it's a reminder to Hashem. I wouldn't say it's a reminder to Hashem.
But that's how he would know the people. Because telling him again, good things happen to good people, bad things happen to good people, these are your people.
Wait, who's telling?
Moshe was saying to Hashem, why does this happen? And it's... that he would find favor, Moshe would find favor.
Why does he need to know?
Why does he need to know? Okay, good.
But we still ask the question today.
Okay, why does anybody need to know?
I don't know.
Does it bother you?
I see things as challenges that I need to have.
So you're okay with it?
So far, so good.
Same. We you accept the fact that we don't understand. Okay.
With all this attention to knowledge, could it be a reflection back to the position of Adam that he did not or failed to establish the aspect of knowledge? And by Matan Torah, we know that the Jews had reached that level again and lost it. And now Moshe is asking to reestablish that in such a way that only the Jews will then bring Moshiach by the rectification of that aspect.
Okay, so that you're saying that the emphasis on knowledge is around the whole idea of the tree of knowledge and the whole thing, we're trying to pin down what is proper das, what's proper knowledge. Okay? Good.
Maybe Moshe is saying that once you communicate your ways to me, it's as if you've communicated your ways to the people. I'm the leader of the people. You're not just going to be telling me. I'm going to end up conveying this because he's the transmitter of the whole Torah. Mm-hmm. This is Torah also. So then the Jewish people will end up being the sole possessors of this degree of knowledge of Hashem, and Hashem will see that only this people in the whole world has this kind of knowledge.
Okay, so tell me something that human beings, that human beings don't know, that human beings are ignorant about. I want to know that. I will convey that to the people, and that way the people will have a special knowledge of Hashem that no one else has.
Yeah, and right. Then you'll see that on that basis they are your people, and that's the grounds for the exclusivity.
Okay. Of course. I mean, he could have asked for anything.
Yeah, I don't understand why he asked for that.
No, he asked for this. Okay. Now, what we're going to find is that when Hashem does respond to Moshe, and I'm going to tell you what Hashem answered in a moment, but when Hashem does respond to Moshe, he is going to, it's going to be even more than what Moshe is asking for. Hashem is going to show him even more about himself, about Hashem. So Moshe is asking for revelation over here, for greater revelation. Now they had the revelation of Har Sinai, and Moshe is asking for more revelation, more knowledge. So the Hashem answers Moshe Rabbeinu. Now the Gemara tells us that Hashem's answer. The Gemara has two different opinions of what Hashem's answer was to Moshe. One opinion is that he gave him an answer, and one opinion is that he did not give him an answer. One opinion is he gave him an answer. I'll tell you what the answer was in a moment. And the other opinion is he did not give him an answer. He said to him, I sometimes am merciful, and I sometimes am gracious, and it's according to me to decide that, and no one can ever know.
Hi, and live with it.
Okay. So the two opinions are probably working somewhat together, in that Hashem did give Moshe Rabbeinu somewhat of an answer, but it doesn't answer every single case. There are going to be cases which won't fit the answer, and that's where Hashem said, there are certain things that no one is ever going to understand, it's up to me. But he did give him a paradigm that works most of the time. This is going to work 95% of the time. So what did he tell him? He said like this. He said, a tzaddik gomor, someone who is completely righteous, without any sins, then they have a good life. A tzaddik she'eno gamur, person who's righteous but is not perfectly righteous, they can have suffering. A person who is completely evil, rasha gamur, they will suffer. An evil person who is not completely evil, they will have a good life. Rasha she'eno gamur. Now, does that answer every single case? It's hard to know whether it answers every single case, because since we're human beings, we never know if a person is completely righteous or not completely righteous, and if a person is completely evil or not completely evil. Because since we don't know everything about any person, we can't really know if a person is completely righteous or completely evil, or not completely righteous, not completely evil. Okay. But sometimes it's pretty clear. Sometimes you can see someone is really, really righteous or really, really evil. But what is Hashem's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu is this, that generally speaking, it's not going to fit every single case, but generally speaking, the suffering has to be because, generally speaking, has to be because of something wrong that was done. Not necessarily by the person who is suffering. See, that's where it gets a little bit confusing. It doesn't have to be the person who is suffering is the person who did wrong, but there's got to be some wrongdoing in order for there to be suffering. Suffering doesn't happen by itself. Never happens in a vacuum. There's got to be something wrong. If everybody did everything right, there would be no suffering. Suffering has to come because of people doing things wrong. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, if a person is perfectly righteous, they never did anything wrong, then they shouldn't be able to suffer. Because there's nothing for the suffering to latch onto, because the person never did anything wrong. Now, before I go into the other cases, that answer fits most of the time, although it still is possible for a perfectly righteous person to suffer. For example, he could be atoning for his whole generation with his suffering, even though he's perfect. So it's still possible. But Hashem is giving a general paradigm. Generally speaking, someone who never did anything wrong can't suffer because the suffering can't latch on to anything. Whereas a person who is righteous but isn't perfect, there the suffering does have what to latch on to, and it makes sense that it would, because I want that person to get into Olam Haba. I want that person to get into the next world and it should be blissful. I don't want him taking any of the baggage with him. So I want to eradicate all of these sins in this world. An evil person, if they're going to prosper, that's got to be because of some good. Prospering only happens because people did good things. So Hashem says, if an evil person is completely evil, there should be no room for the prosperity to latch on to, because he didn't do anything good. Now again, that's not going to address every single case, but most of the time, that'll be true. Whereas someone who is not completely evil, but is mostly evil, there the prosperity has what to latch on to, because he did do some good things, and I want to give him his reward in this world. That's the general answer that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu. But it does not deal with every single case, and therefore there are certain things that are outside of this paradigm, and Hashem says, that's for me to know, no one can possibly know that. So this is the information that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for, and Hashem gave it to him. He didn't give it to him here, gave it to him later, but he gives it to him. And Moshe is saying, by sharing that knowledge, you're going to see that this is your nation, because you have increased your relationship with me, Moshe, and the relationship that I have with you is through this nation. Now, what is Moshe saying over here? Just because Hashem has increased his relationship with Moshe Rabbeinu, why does that have to mean he's increased his relationship with the Jewish people? So we've said before that a leader is only as great as the people he leads, and the people only get the leader they deserve. That's the way it works. Yes, that's unfortunate, but that's the way it works. And so therefore, Moshe is saying to Hashem, on a general basis, if you increase your relationship with me, by definition, you have to increase your relationship with the Jewish people, because I'm part of the Jewish people. I'm their leader. And you can't have this dichotomy that you're very close to the leader, but you're very distant from the people. The leader is the people. The people are the leader. We go together. So if you're increasing your relationship with me, then you necessarily have to increase your relationship with the Jewish people. So on a general basis, Moshe is saying to Hashem, I want to know you better, and through that you will then also be closer to the Jewish people. But that doesn't explain the specific thing that Moshe asked for. So what is so significant about knowing Hashem's ways in reward and punishment? You can't have a question about the righteous suffering, the righteous prospering, the evil suffering, the evil prospering. You can't have that question when it's just you. If I'm by myself and I exist on an island, I'm just me, and whatever happens, happens, I can always, if I'm open-minded enough, I can always answer the question. Why did it happen to me? Why did the good happen? Why the bad happened? I can find answers. I may not like the answers. I may not like the fact that I'm suffering. I may feel I don't deserve the reward that I'm getting, the prospering I'm getting. But if it's just me, there's no comparison. And if there's no comparison, then I can always make up reasons. The reason why we have a question, why the righteous suffer, why the evil prosper, is only because we don't exist in a vacuum. And we are always comparing. We are always contrasting. Always. We are always saying that, even if we're not saying it in a mean way, even if we're not saying it in an overt way, but we're always looking around and looking at other people, we're looking for people, that person's like me, that person's not like me, that person's... You know, God forbid, when a tragedy occurs, everybody wants to know details.
Right.
Most of the time, the reason people want to know details is because they want to be able to explain to themselves why that won't happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when something happens to somebody, I'm always afraid, what about me? So I want to know, you know why he got hit by a car? Because he didn't look before he crossed the street. Okay, so that won't happen to me. I'll look both ways before I cross the street. I want an answer. I want an answer. Because we're always contrasting, we're always comparing. This question of the righteous suffering and prospering, the evil suffering and prospering, is only a question in the context of a people. Because within a people, you can have two people within a nation. Two people, they're doing the exact same things. One is prospering, one is suffering. Why? What's going on? You can have that question. So Moshe is saying to Hashem, I, and by extension the Jewish people, I want to know how you make these decisions. And that's something which you don't share with an individual, because an individual doesn't have a question. The question is a national question. It's only within a nation that you can have such a question. And I want to know the answer, which I'm going to share with the Jewish people. And that will bring all of us closer to you, because we will then have a broader understanding of why is it that sometimes we do the exact same thing. This person suffers, this person is prospering. It will lead to a greater understanding of the ways of God for the Jewish people. And in so doing, both they and I will be closer to you. So Moshe is saying to Hashem, you can refuse my request. If you refuse my request, okay. So then we're stuck with the angel, and we're stuck with being distant from you. But I'm asking that you fulfill my request. And in so doing, you will necessarily bring me and the nation closer to you. And then when Hashem agrees, Moshe says, and I want exclusivity. I don't want anybody else to be included in this. You are you are giving us exclusivity in the knowledge of how Hashem runs the world. You're giving us exclusivity in knowledge of Hashem. And Hashem will agree to what Moshe is saying. Hashem is going to give us exclusivity, and Hashem is going to give Moshe the amount of the answer that he's willing to give him, which is not the whole answer. As I said, it's a paradigm, but it does not include, there are outlying cases that are not included. For example, children. Nobody understands that. Why do children suffer? They never did anything wrong. How could they suffer? This paradigm doesn't explain that. The paradigm isn't meant to explain everything. It is a general paradigm to give us at least some insight into the ways of Hashem.
It's also a general paradigm because you're not doing the Yon Narayim. When you read, Hashem looks into our hearts. He knows the thoughts of man.
Yes.
Something we will never have privy to. Only the Shvarach.
Yes. Now, it's going to be 2 weeks till we have our next class. So I just want to point out to you that Hashem, in the next paragraph, is not quite as cryptic as this one. This is a really difficult paragraph to read. I shared with you the way Rashi understands it. It's a very hard paragraph to read, and all of the commentaries struggle with this paragraph we just read. The next one is not quite as cryptic, but it is a continuation. Hashem is going to respond to Moshe that I'm going to do it. And then Moshe is going to ask for something else, even more. And then Hashem is going to respond to that. So we're still in the middle of a conversation, even though we finished the paragraph. And we'll have to refresh our memories next time in 2 weeks, and then go on.
Is Moshe asking this out of a drive to understand that Hashem is both good and just? Because that's what this question is really aimed at. If we knew the answer to this question, we would not question whether Hashem is a good God or whether he's just.
Yeah,
we'd be able to see that he's merciful.
I think that he's not asking it for himself. He's really asking it for the people. And it's, he may be like Mrs. Wittenberg. He may be able to say, I accept it, whatever it is. But a lot of people can't accept that. So it gives greater insight for people. It gives them the greater ability to accept.
And yet we are still asking the question.
Yeah, we're always going to ask the question. Yeah. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.